If the sermon's not good, I got a whole bunch of jokes lined up. I know the guy who wrote this, so he goes anywhere he wants to. One of the first songs that we... My name is Lyle. One of the first songs... I'm supposed to introduce myself more than that, right? I've been following Jesus for as long as he's been in front. I find him so amazing and so absolutely... There's not enough words. He's unnerving. He's comforting at the same time. He stretches you at the same time. he holds you onto one place. There's so many oxymorons that, like, you're all over the place. But it's all about relationship, getting together with him, and listening to his heart, seeing what he's saying, and then following. And each one, he speaks to us, each one of us differently. I find that so amazing as I'm going through my walk with him. How it's changed over the years, and lately, he's been blowing us away with his presence. You know, we were singing here, one of the first songs was, Danielle, help me out here, "You Made a Way, Unlock These Chains." It was the first song you sang? You Deserve It All. One of the things that he says, I'm following on, this is the third time, talking on a sermon about repentance. I want to thank you. It is a great honor to be able to speak to you, my heart, about these things. I take it very seriously because if he's speaking to you, it changes the course of your life. If I can lend something to you, Martin, it's a yes, he changes the course of my life. How many people, you met Jesus and everything changed? I'll wait for the rest of the hands to go up, too. Maybe you're not there yet. Okay. "You Made a Way, Unlock These Chains" is a little bit funky because he gave us keys. He says, "I have the sure keys of David. What he unlocks, no man can shut, and what he shuts, no man can unlock." One of the keys that we've been talking about is that dirty word that comes through in Christianity called repentance. It's that 50-cent word that we say and you don't quite know what it's about. And I'll just go quickly over. Repentance is to change your mind, change your position. You know how you want to head that way, your feet will go this way and you'll still be talking to somebody this way and you'll start talking. It's the start of repentance is you change your direction. You change your mind. In the Greek, it's metanoia. In Hebrew, it's shub. You can look those things up for yourself. We talked about in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, how God came into the garden with Adam and said, "Adam, where are you?" Giving him a chance to fess up, to come clean, to change his direction. And Adam did what every good man does. He goes, "It's that woman you gave me." There's only one guy giving me an amen on that. And what happened was we had some of the sermon player troupe up here. Wait for that to sink in. Noah came up and we had Danielle and... No, it was Gord. Came up and Gord was giggling the whole time he was up here. Danielle and Gord, can you come up here? I'm going to get you to do something else. For this scene in our play about the evolution of Christianity, they're going to act out right now in 30 seconds, the whole thing. This is, this, he comes with a beard. He's Jesus. Danielle, his lovely wife, is going to be walking through the garden with him. We need another guy here to walk through the garden, but it's kind of awkward because like they're married and then you'd have to hold hands with somebody else. But you're walking through the garden. Go walk through the garden, enjoy the garden, look at things. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't overact here. Oh, that's too much emotion coming out of that. So in the garden, Jesus and Adam and Eve, they met in the cool of the evening. They're walking through the garden. They had relationship. I need a snake. I need a... I guess I shouldn't have said that like that. Okay. 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 I need... Can you slither? Okay. So...
I can get down by my
okay, you, okay, you, it's not the cool of the evening, if the evening has come and it's gone, and you, that's good, and you're off on your lonesome looking at the apple trees going through the bush, and then the snake comes, and the snake says, has God, what's your line? And Danielle came out with right away, she goes, oh, a talking snake. And she says, no, God has not said, okay, snake, you've done very well. Can you go slither away someplace? So what happened was, and you see it very subtly, Satan came in and said, has God said? There was doubt planted in. And then as he planted that doubt into Eve, he also said the lie, which is, if you eat of the tree, you will not surely die, but you will be like God. So he wove a truth in there with that lie. The problem came when Danielle, Eve, agreed, entertained the idea. You entertain it, and once you entertain it and start thinking about it, it foments within you. And then you start going, yeah, that's really cool. That apple looks good. It's good to eat. It's good for the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Jesus. Regal. Yeah, okay. So now, where she agreed by obeying Satan, that's the whole crux of the matter. She obeyed, and her allegiance. So go like this as you walk away. Okay, now you go all the way back to your seat. Just go like this. Darn. Yeah, but regal. Okay, now go back to your seat. Thank you. So what happened when Eve agreed with, and this is what you have to know, and Satan will get you, and you've all been here. You have all been there. He's got you to do something dumb and stupid. He's got you to say something dumb and stupid. He's got you to do it. Because he beguiled you, beguiled Eve. He says something that sounds really good. And you entertain it, and you agree with it. Where you agree with it, you now have connection. And with that connection came relationship. So, here we go. So that was an overview of what went out the last couple times. Is the gift that God gave Jesus, knowing that God in the story, knowing that man would fall, already made a way. We know all through, you've read Genesis through all the way through and backwards, and you studied it, is that he made a way. Jesus says, I am the way in the truth and the life. I am the way. So he made a way for us to get back together again. And one of the keys is repentance. Change your mind, change your direction. This mindset that Eve had, that she was going to follow, let's take it, serve Satan by agreeing with him, change the course of all humankind. We all are born into a nature that is separate. So our normal natural growing up is to be separate, to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to not have a relationship with God. That's how we start, and we think that's our normal, natural. And God, in his love, has never changed his idea. He never changed. He's always wanted to have a relationship. He's always wanted to walk again with us in the cool of the evening. Okay, let's have our first slide. How'd that get up there? The magic slide. Okay. That's a good one. I like that one too, but it's not on my list, is it? Oh, that was cool. That was the word that Marion gave. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Can we put that right at the bottom of my list? Okay, there should be a new list there that is, Gord is there. So we're on Luke 15, 11 to 32. There we go. We're going to get right into the New Testament here. There was a man who had two sons. This means... There it is. The younger one said to his father, "Father, I have an attitude. Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine. Now, this is not the translation. The one translation I have is that he spent his money on prodigal living, and the word in the Greek means... Well, you'll see it at the end, that he was hanging around with the harlots and the wine bibbers and partying all the time. So he also said, "Dad, I have an attitude, and I know everything, and you don't know anything. And I'm going to live on my own, and you owe me, because this is what we do." And he spent everything, and all his friends left. And then he attached himself. This is, it's NIV. Which is nearly inspired version. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him in the fields to feed his pigs. Next. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Next. This is what I want you to notice. When he came to his senses, everyone say senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? Violet, I will set out and go back." This is the start of repentance. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy.'" There's a lie that we're going to address as we go on. "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. So he started repenting. There was an actual change direction. I changed from my lifestyle. I was living in debauchery. There is nothing left. I am hungry, emaciated. I probably stink really bad. And I'm coming home. And I'm going to come home under my terms. My terms are, I'm going to be a worthless servant in your house. That's what he was thinking. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Punctuation mile. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." There's that, I am no longer worthy. Next. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him." So I want you to stop real quick there, is that when the father in this story is, the father in this story is, okay, you're with me. So Jesus is illustrating that this is his nature. As far as you run away from him, as far as you've gone to the left or to the right, away from him and done your own thing, when you turn and walk towards him in repentance, that he is the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever, that he looks on you with compassion, and he would say the same thing for you coming back home. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Just back up just a second. Put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The ring on his finger signified that, like you, you're still his kids. You're still heirs to his promises. You're still made into a line of priests and kings. You are still royal. You still have everything that he has meant for you. The potential is still there. Next. Sorry for all the vegetarians. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have the feast and celebrate. So that's this story. We're getting into repentance and into the nitty-gritty. I'm going to go fairly quick. I've got a lot of verses. 2 Timothy 2:24-26, please. Now, how many people have been believers for more than 10 years? Okay. I'm talking to you. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Don't get into arguments. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. This is part of also growing up in the faith, is that you can actually pray for somebody else. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. They're off their nut. They have lost their senses. They're not in their right mind. Lord, would you bless them with repentance? Lord, would you let them come to their senses? Would you let them again turn their face towards you? You start bubbling up with the heart of the Father that all his children would come back home. Grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. There you go. Repentance. Jesus said, I'm the way, the life, the light, the truth. There's so many more titles. Leading them back to the truth. Satan lied. He believed a lie. Everything changed. God wants you to come back to him. He welcomes you that you would know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In that place that you know the truth, that's where you're free. In the place you don't know that truth, at the same degree, you are still serving Satan somehow. In your mind, your actions, your attitudes, your behaviors. There we go. And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This is the whole thing. In another version that I have, I use New King James. It says, escape the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. All the way back in Genesis, Satan sneakily came in, lied, and put his lasso or snare over Danielle, who is Eve, and he led her around to do his bidding, that she would become his servant, his slave, his subject. And that they will come to their senses. The prodigal son came to his senses. He had his own mind back and escaped from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You can be unwittingly on the opposite team. The black hearts instead of the white hats. And you don't know it until you take time with Jesus and say, Jesus, is there something I'm thinking? Is there something I'm doing? Is there something that I grew up with that I think is my normal natural that's against you? This is part of growing up as somebody who's more mature in your walk. Next verse, please. Next verse. Go right through. We shouldn't be in Genesis. We should be Exodus 34. Be careful lest you make a covenant, an agreement, with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be for you a snare in the middle of you. This is the second mention of the word snare in the Bible. Snare is a, if anybody trap, do any trapping? Good. Because a snare is something, you've all seen the little wire snails. Snares, the animal puts its head in and the noose tightens as it goes forward, and then it tries to back up and the noose tightens and it ends up strangling to death. It's a very simple but effective means of killing you. Satan puts a snare over you and you're snared by, covenant with the inhabitants of the land, the covenant. Keep this in mind. Covenant is that thing where it's that agreement which is more than just words of your mouth. There's your heart, your intentions, everything in your life is in that covenant. We have a marriage covenant, Moses, Abraham cut covenant. We're not talking about that today, but it's a serious word. Next, please. Is that 14? Yeah. We're moving on. God said in Exodus, he said, don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land that you're going to. It's going to be a snare for you. It's pretty simple instructions. Then, just a few years later, Joshua is leading, and he made peace with them. He made covenant with them and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore to them. There's later on, it says that we are the Gibeonites. He made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And we'll just leave that up there. He made a covenant with the Gibeonites. They deceived him into not, you know the story where they came with the old bread and the dust and the old shoes and they came up with the sad faces to Joshua and said, let's make a covenant with you. We've come from far away, but he's actually their neighbors because they didn't want all of Israel coming into their land and dispossessing of everything. That's the story. That's the background. And what happened is this. Don't change that. Go back one. If you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, sorry, shouldn't be there. You have been trapped. We enter into a covenant, into an agreement with something the evil one has said, and you're ensnared. You've entered into a covenant. The big thing about this is God will not override your choice. You have free will, and that free will is such a high gift. God himself will never override your free will. You have the free will to do something stupid. You have the free will to make a choice that hurts you. That's your free will. And God, though he doesn't like it, he will allow you to go through the pain, the suffering of your choice so that you can find out the truth, that this choice was a bad choice. I shouldn't have done this. And usually that comes a year after or 6 months after whatever is your choice, and it hurts, and you'll be eaten with the pigs, and you got nothing left, and your friends have all gone. And this was a bad choice, but you're coming to your senses. You've been trapped by what you said, so you made an agreement. There, the Gibeonites ended up being a thorn in the side of the Israelites for the rest of their days. Next slide, please. There's that word snare again. So we have that visual of the snare. When you're foolish, think Psalm 14 said, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There was, when we went back to Joshua, the verse 14, it said they didn't ask the counsel of God. They actually moved away from God. They did things without God. I got this, God. you hang over there. I'm just going to do this on my own. I can do this. What does that sound like? Sounds like pride. We've all been proud. We've all been ashamed. We've all been in that place that I'm worthless. How could God love somebody like me? I've done this, that, the other thing. And Satan will continue to hammer at you with condemnation. Well, God and the prodigal son runs back to you and says, welcome home. Welcome home. Watch the words of your mouth. Now, I'm talking to the seniors here. Watch the words of your mouth, because I'm going to get into something that God is doing with this church. He's changing us as a church. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. This has to stop. In whatever subtle way that you have taken part, we all have taken part. I've done it. Everyone else goes, yeah, I've been there. Is that God will not honor that because it dishonors the person you're talking about. When we start to move in dishonor, we're not moving in God anymore. God's kingdom is honorable. We move in dishonor. Next. God takes your crappy choices and he does something good, marvelous with them. He leads you into the truth. And he draws you closer to himself. He draws you back into the family. So even your crappy choices become part of that. You go, God, you're so amazing. You took my choice and you changed it into something where I can see you working. I can see your, I can feel your presence. I can feel your nearness. And I love it, Lord. I know, and part of repentance is agreeing with God. Yeah, I screwed up really bad. But you still love me. And he turns all things to good. Romans 8:29. No, this is not in here. Just a second here. Do we have... Oh, where? 8:29. Go to James 3:6. This is something for all of us. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. Do you need any more information than that? This is hitting hard because it has to hit hard. There is a place that God is taking us as a church in that he's going to be inundating us with people coming in who need to see the love of God, who need to feel the love of God, who need to know and breathe in the atmosphere that I'm accepted, that I'm loved. I screwed up royally, but I'm loved here, and I'm home when I'm here. The part of gossip, the part of the tongue, the fire, as you guys, we move forward in this, that you will be the first person that they see when they walk through the doors, that you will be the first person that represents the church, that you will be the one that they form an opinion about. Next. Next. Actually, back up one. There was a second line there. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. So in your moving forward in church, and God has you pray, and you pray for things that he's put on your heart, you have the burdens of the Father on you, and you start praying those things, that you know what? You're going to meet somebody. You're going to meet somebody whose life is an absolute train wreck. You don't need to tell anybody else. God has you pray about that. And that's your burden. That's where he says, I trust you enough to pray my heart. I trust you enough to say the same things that I would say. I trust you enough. And that is relationship. He starts showing you the hard things. He starts showing you a walk with God. A trustworthy man keeps a secret, and it also says love covers over a multitude of sins. We don't need to be telling each other anybody else's sins. Next. Jesus says this, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no, for anything else beyond this comes from the evil one. There is the trap. There is the trap. Just to be deadly honest, not adulterate the word that God is giving you, or not hold back from what God is giving you, but say exactly what he has said. Pray exactly what he wants you to pray. Move forward in God, with God. Because anything else, and that's where Satan will always tap you. And he'll say, no, has God said? And then there'll be doubt, and then there'll be a lie mixed with truth. There'll be confusion. Next verse, please. That's it? Okay. I'm supposed to tell a story here. Okay. It came to me like that. I was arguing with my wife over something, and Satan said, you guys never argue. You never have differences of opinions. You can all go home now. Everyone else who argues and has differences of opinions, you can stay. So what happened was, I was under an immense amount of pressure, and we were arguing about something little, and Satan whispered in my ear, he said, she's the reason you're having all these problems. And he said, you should learn to separate your finances. You need to learn how to live alone. I started hearing this. Oh, thank you. Say that again, girl. It's danger, danger. I was so thick and so confused. I didn't know what was going on. But it was coming from the outside. It was like I was targeted and coming from the outside. So One day I'm at a place that I'm renovating, and it talks to me again, I go, yeah, she is the reason. All of a sudden, there was this energy confusion. It came instantly, like that, and I was super confused. I'm a carpenter, I couldn't figure out how to cut a board and put it where it had to be. I stood in the middle of the house swearing at the top of my lungs. God, I was so mad because I couldn't think. Confusion hit instantly. That's a hallmark of Satan. When he comes and he talks to you, there'll be confusion. You won't think clearly. You won't be in your own senses. So finally, one day I come home after standing in the middle of another project, not able to think. And Tan says, oh, good, it's 10 o'clock, you're home, you may as well do the dishes. So I'm done. So I got into bed, and I put the covers over my head, and I can't even think to pray. That's me, I can't even think to pray. So I started, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I just said it over and over and over, and it went, boop, it popped. Something left instantly. All of a sudden I was clear and I could think. And I said, I got suckered. That was a spirit. I hadn't experienced that before, but I didn't know. So the rest of the story is that night I said, Jesus, you do whatever you need to do. So I'm in bed that night and I'm sleeping and it feels like an earthquake. Shaking. I get up out of bed and I'm running. I'm going to save the family. I'm just going to go and save the kids and take them all out of the house because there's an earthquake going on. I go over to Joel's room. He's sleeping. Jaden, Levi, and Mitch, they're all sleeping. I went, the shaking's inside of me. Okay. My heart's thumping. I get back into bed. I said, Jesus, let's do this. 30 seconds later, heat and electricity came out of my mouth. And it was gone. It was done. It's never been back. And I got educated on stupidity. agreeing with the evil one. So the thing is, he'll get you when you're weak, you're overtaxed, you're overburdened, you've got no mental energy to fight. That's when Satan attacks you. Okay, we talked about repentance. My repentance was as much as I could handle, was to just say, "Our Father who art in heaven, I want to concentrate on you. I know there's something wrong. I don't know what it is that's wrong, but it's wrong. Father." And I started praying. And Father came. And there was freedom. That story is to tell you this, that repentance is a gift. To turn again towards the Father. Instead of the Father in the story of the prodigal son, didn't go, "There's that wretch." He didn't do that. He goes, "There's my boy. He's coming back." And the rest of the story is, you know, who once was dead is now alive. Who once was dead in the ideas and beliefs and behaviors that he was doing is now alive. He's coming back home. It's not perfect yet, but I'm going to walk with him. So repentance is that gift. Repentance is that change your mind. As mature Christians, what's coming on this church is this. There's going to be so many new people coming in because of a tidal wave of something that's coming. And it's going to hit this church so hard. But as we go through this, the heart attitude is, I have to be willing to change very quickly. I have to be willing to let go of my paradigm of churches in these four walls. Church happens like this. We sing three hymns and a snooze, and then that's church, and we go home. It's going to be different. Somebody's going to walk through that door and look at you, and you're going to be the first one that represents Jesus. And you're going to turn, and even though you don't know how, you're going to say, "Jesus made you. Welcome. Welcome." We were talking beforehand I was raised Catholic, that we didn't talk to each other in church. We sat down, we looked at the head of the person in front of you, and we didn't say boo. I don't know if that's biblical. We didn't say boo to them, and they didn't say boo to us. And at the end, everyone got up and ran as fast as they could out. They didn't talk to each other. That's my normal natural. Everything has changed. You are my family. You are who I love, I care about. I cannot give this word without loving you. In that, I care more about you moving forward in God than giving you information. When I first started, I said, this is such an honor. Because I get to say something from the heart of the Father to you, that you would pick it up, and in picking that up, you would run with it. God is that good. He's going to turn your mess into your message. We've had, when Shelley was up here, was that last week? Shelley was up here, and she was telling how she got caught in the New Age, and she was very diligent because she believed it was the truth, and she did her affirmations, and she did her divinations, and she did her card readings, and she was heavy into it because she believed it was the truth. But God met her in the place of her deception and revealed himself, and she went, "Something's wrong. Something's really wrong." And she went home and burnt all her books and got rid of her divination tools and got rid of her crystals, and it totally changed. So that's that. He turned a mess into a message, and now she's in Trail giving her testimony this week. Satan always gives you the counterfeit. Satan always mixes the truth with a lie. It seems right, and you could be caught into it. You could be caught in it right now, or you could be just coming out of it. We still will love you. And we'll walk alongside you. And you mature people, you will walk alongside those people that are going to come in. There's going to be so many coming in that the ability to change your mind quickly, to do something different quickly, to change how you speak, your rhetoric, is going to happen fast. It's the way God works is he messes with your what you think he's like. Last week I told you that going through that thing is that ceiling that I was going through was my thoughts about God were actually keeping me away from God. When he messes with your thoughts, it's because he loves you. If what you think is keeping you from entering into a relationship of love, he is so willing to go there with you, but he's going to whisper, the same way Satan whispered to me, he'll whisper to you. He'll say, that's not how I am. He'll say things like, I love you so much. You're precious. You're beautiful. He says the most wonderful things, and you are changed. That's a good one. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened with a lie. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened with a way of life that's left you empty and pointless. Come to me, and I will give you rest. There's rest in no other name than in Jesus. I could go on and on. I love his name. I love that he is our peace. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. He is our promise. He's our King. He's the Lord of Lords. He is our comfort. He is our truth. He is our way, peace, rest, lover of our souls. We sang that. I don't know, Danielle, if you can. Jesus' name above every other name. Jesus, the one who could ever save. We live for you. Can you pull that up? While we do this, if you feel the need, we could take a couple minutes now, but if you feel the need that God is bringing something up, like I've been believing this thing and God is showing me this thing right now and I don't know what to do with this thing. While the music is playing, because that's the way we do things here, is that I want you to... we could get into small groups. We did it last week, and it was really wonderful. Get into a small group of four people. Pray with each other. If God isn't showing you something, pray for somebody. If God is showing you something in yourself, get prayer. Now, I'll give you about 5 minutes, so you go, and we'll pray this, and we'll come back together, and we'll worship again. God is good. Amen. All the time. Thank you.